Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. This is the second July edition, July 9th, Wednesday, 2014. You can call me birthday boy. Today is not my birthday. Today is the birthday of a woman I used to work for. Her husband, Dave, is still one of my best friends, one of the greatest people I've ever had the honor and privilege of knowing and working for in my life. Just a great guy. No wonder the two of them did not stay married. It's really two other ladies I know have birthdays today. One of them is a lady named Cindy Perkins that I dated in college and spent New Year's Eve of 1976 with. And the other one is a lady named Rose Izzo, who is running for the U.S. Congress as a Republican here in Delaware. Now, I mentioned Delaware politics for a specific reason. We have a couple of big-name, nationally known Republicans that are going to be joining us tonight. Kevin Wade is one of them. Kevin Wade, as you will recall, ran for the U.S. Congress in 2012 as the GOP nominee, the GOP candidate in Delaware for the U.S. Senate, and he ran against a guy named Tom Carper, whose name has been synonymous with politics in Delaware for over four decades. He was the treasurer, the lieutenant governor, the congressman, and now the senator. I mean, you know, during the campaign 2 years ago, I met Senator Carper several times. No one in our campaign, that was the Kevin Wade campaign of 2012, had anything personal against Tom Carper, least of all me, and even less than I. Kevin had nothing personal against him. Nice old guy. U.S. Navy veteran, commissioned officer in the Navy and the Navy Reserves for like 30 years. I think he retired as a captain in the United States Navy. But a liberal Democrat. And, you know, those policies simply don't work. We are seeing them now beginning to reach their own logical conclusions. Those policies, the liberal Democrat policies, simply do not work. All right, don't get me started. Kevin's going to be joining us in about 14 minutes. And Kevin Wade yesterday filed to run for the U.S. Senate in Delaware. He will win this time. He will win. And he will be running against Senator Chris Coons, who described himself as a, quote, bearded Marxist, unquote. That's who we've got. Represented the state that Caesar Rodney came from. We now have a self-described Marxist representing us in the United States Senate. Even Tom Carper would never. Yeah, I mean, please. It's unbelievable. Coons had been, I'm pretty sure, a lawyer. Kevin will be able to straighten us out on that. I spent the day today writing position papers for the Wade campaign, sending out emails for the Wade campaign. I am communications director of the Kevin Wade for U.S. Senate campaign. I am honored to be, I've got to be honest with you. I really never thought in my life that I would have a position like this. And I couldn't be happier. I've gone out of my way to establish really good relations with every reporter, every scribbler, every talking head, every jawboning radio talk show guy, of which I once again am one, on the peninsula. And, you know, I think that that paid off. We'll see this time. Last time in 2012, during the general election, it was a three-way race. It was Tom Carper, the perpetual incumbent, being challenged by Kevin Wade, the businessman and engineer. And a third challenger that came in was this dude from Boston whose name is Alex Pyres. Alex is a lawyer. Alex has been a profoundly and incredibly successful lawyer, filing huge discrimination and wrongful exclusion lawsuits against the federal government on behalf of all black people that ever owned a farm in this country. I mean, these were huge, massive, monstrous settlements. Alex is a very rich guy. He's a very nice guy. It is obvious he is a very smart guy. Look, you can be a genius and you can have a high IQ and you can still be wrong. And the liberals are. Some of them are very smart. The majority of them are as dumb as a box of rocks. But the fact that you can be smart and you can still be wrong. Anyway, 2 years ago, Alex began throwing rocks at windows. Alex, as I mentioned, very smart attorney. He was in the U.S. Army during Vietnam. I don't think he ever fought in Vietnam, but he was a commissioned officer in the United States Army during Vietnam. I could never in a million years put somebody down for honorable military service. Even if you spent all your time in the military in the rear with the gear or something like that, you know, it's something I never did. I never wore our country's uniform. However, Alex began the campaign by saying that Delaware was the most corrupt state in the Union. Tom Carper was the most corrupt senator in the U.S. Senate. And he never stopped. And then at one point, I mean, this was a crack up. I could tell you stories from that campaign 2 years ago. I think Kevin and I probably had more fun on that campaign, on the campaign trail in Delaware. And the fact of the matter is, then by Lacey Lafferty, who will be the 2016 Republican nominee for governor of Delaware. I have no doubt. You can literally walk from one end of the state to the other in about 3 days. No question. I mean, she did. She did. The woman walked from either Del Mar or Selbyville. Both of them are on the Maryland border, the southern border of Delaware, all the way up to the top of the 12-mile arc, which is the semicircular arc-shaped border against the very southeastern portion of Pennsylvania. I mean, you know, look, Lacey, she was a state trooper for a long time. She is very fit. She exercises. The girl was a model. She's a single mom. She was in the state police for 20 years. She rides horses all the time. And Lacey just has a real serious determination about being the next governor of Delaware. And you know what? You can say what you want. A lot of other Republicans have said to me, come on, man. Come on. It's going to be Jeff Craig again, and you know it is. Well, I don't know any such thing. Jeff Craig was our nominee in 2012 for governor. The incumbent, Jack Markell, and as they say, if you think Delaware is friendly to small business, you don't know Jack. The power of incumbency is unbelievable. It's just, you've got to screw up even worse than Eric Cantor to lose, you know, if you're in office. I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I digress. So anyway, Lacey did walk from one end of the, literally walked from one end of the state to the other at some point late March, early April, middle of April, I think. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Look, I have a tough time walking from the living room back here to the radio studio here in the barn in Lewis, Delaware. Lacey, look, my hat's off to her. But the point is, this is where I'm going with this, you know, if I can remember. Delaware, politically, is the smallest state in the union. Geographically, we are a little bit bigger than Rhode Island, but we only have three counties here. Rhode Island has five. Rhode Island has either two or three congressmen. We only have one, and it's John Carney. And I know John. I know him. I knew him when he was the lieutenant governor under Ruth Ann Miller. You know, all right, here's the deal. Okay, we're going to take a real brief break in a moment, but here's the deal about Delaware. Are you a young person out there listening tonight? Are you somebody who is 21, you're a junior in college, you're going to be a senior this fall, and you want to get involved in politics, you want to be up close and personal? I'm telling you, Delaware is the place to be. No question about it. No matter where you live, you are never more than a one-hour ride from the state capitol. No matter where you live, you can easily and readily meet your elected officials in a state like Delaware. Absolutely no question about it. If you don't, all the time I meet people in Delaware who say something to me like, "Oh, Duke, what should I do? I got a letter from the state tax authority. They want me to..." And I always say, okay, and this is somebody who is actually a neighbor of mine that told me this a couple of weeks ago. I said, okay, you and I live in the 14th Representative District. Our representative is Pete Schwarzkopf. He is the Speaker of the House in Delaware. And I said, are you a Democrat? And the lady said, yes. I said, that's perfect. Call his office. Talk to them. Just be reasonable. Be nice. And I guarantee you, they will speak to you. They will listen to you. And they will talk to you. And the speaker's staff will almost certainly do something to help you with your problem if it's a problem that can actually be helped. Okay? And the girl who is very bright, she's very bright. I'm not going to name any names. But she has a master's in broadcasting, like a lot of people that have higher education in the Obama economy. She is now working in the food service industry, and she does very, very well because she's smart, she's nice, she's friendly. Anyway, when I said to her, call the speaker, Representative Schwarzkopf, he is your representative, she kind of looked down at the ground like, I don't think I can do that. I don't know why not. This is Delaware. You know, it's a small state. Everybody knows everybody. Anyway, Kevin Wade is going to be here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking about the U.S. Senate race that is coming up. Alex Pyres got very few votes. I want to mention something about my buddy Bing Fisher, and then I'm going to tell you a story about Alex Pyres. It's one of the funniest things that ever happened. It's unbelievable. By now you certainly know who all the usual suspects are here at the conservativenationmedia.com internet radio network, where America always wins. A guy that has been with us since actually before I got here, Bing Fisher in Tennessee. He was Michael Smith, Michael Berryman's co-host for a long time on Sundays. Then I thought it would be good if each one of those guys had their own show. And now they do. And they were one after the other on Sundays. Now Bing has moved to Mondays. Bing is an engineer. His people are from Germany. I think his dad was born there, like, you know, in the 1920s, and they had to escape from East Germany to come to America. But Bing is an engineer, and you know the way the Germans are about engineering. They're not slouches or anything. They know what they're doing. If you're going to get, you know, if you're going to get somebody to design something, it's something that requires a combination of technology and precision. If you've got your druthers, as they say, you're probably going to want a German to be in that position. I mean, seriously. And Bing, like me, and probably like you, is just absolutely head over heels about America. And he believes in the traditional values that are the ones that have defined this country for over two centuries, and God willing, continue to do so. It's an uphill battle right now. Those left-wing commies, they are really, don't get me started. Anyway, look, here's what you want to do. On Monday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, you want to tune in here to conservativenationmedia.com and listen to Bing Fisher, Uncle Bing, they call him. I don't, but they do, whoever they are. And his program, American by Design, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, Monday nights, right here on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Bing was not in the service. All this time I thought that Bing was a veteran. He was not. I'm not really, you know, I guess I got my facts wrong. I don't know what else to tell you. However, and he calls my phone, a piece of music that if you're a military history person plays, it is called Der Panzerlied, but I digress. Anyway, we're big on engineers around here, and I've got one on hold right now. His name is Kevin Wade. He is running for the United States Senate against a Marxist, Chris Coons. Kevin is going to be with us. I want you to call in to speak with Kevin at 718-305-7176 right after this break, so stay right where you are.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
$10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger one goat at a time.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Alrighty, welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And that, of course, the mighty Electric Light Orchestra from the 1977 album Out of the Blue. That cut is called Summer and Lightning, and that is exactly what we were experiencing here, at least in southern Delaware last night. No question about it. Now let me welcome the next United States Senator from the state of Delaware, Kevin Wade, my dear friend. How are you doing, pal?
Duke, it's great to be with you on Conservative Nation Radio tonight.
Well, I'm very glad that you're here. And, you know, all day long, despite the fact that the Internet went down here for a couple hours earlier today, I have been thinking, writing, calling, speaking to everybody, and I am going to do whatever is necessary to make sure that you are the next United States Senator from Delaware. I'm honored to know you. I'm honored to work for you. And I'm honored to be speaking with people on your behalf. Now, give me a couple of ideas about, you know, this is the seminal question that anybody would ask. Why do you want to be the next U.S. Senator from Delaware?
Well, let me tie it into your lead-in about an engineer. Engineers by nature like to work on things to make them better. Engineers by nature like to find something that's broken and restore it to working condition. It's just something that has a broad appeal to anyone who pursues the engineering career. How can we make this thing better? As a citizen, as you know, one of us, one of we the people here in this great republic, I take a look at Washington today, and it seems irretrievably and unredeemably broken. Washington doesn't work for us. It seems to work for them. They don't seem to have an ability to even use the right words to properly describe the problems that confront the nation. They argue among themselves back and forth, left and right, trying to defend partisan positions from the past, and they don't come together on finding solutions for the present that make sense for tomorrow. Washington is broken. I'm an engineer. I'm looking for the support of people in the first state and around the country to go to Washington, fix what's broken, and make things better. Not for me, my friend. Not for me. I have a business card. I have a desk. I have a wonderful life that I and my wife have built by lots of hard work through the years. But we have a daughter. We have grandchildren. I have a son-in-law. I want to see the next generations live in a country with as much promise as the one that you grew up in and I grew up in, Duke.
It is very, very discouraging when I speak with young people. Of course, young people are always discouraging to adults like us. I mean, you know, as I often joke with people, that's the trouble with these kids today. But one of the problems I have noticed is that they seem to be willing to accept bad government, self-centered government, government for its own sake, high taxes collected by an agency of the U.S. government that has done a lot of dirty things to a lot of good people. That's all coming out now. And they seem willing to accept it. I'm hoping, and we had young people on our campaign 2 years ago. Obviously, you remember Laura Ricketts and, Christopher Manti. That's how I met
great,
Christopher.
Great
that's
patriot.
How I...
Great
oh,
patriots,
no question about it.
Strong faith.
Absolutely. And we're going to be
there's also something brewing among people certainly under 30, and that is they have a true resentment for the loss of their privacy. They have an understanding that liberty in a nation such as America begins with your personal liberty. It's not what is dosed out and dispensed by powerful people in Washington. When you send a text message to your friend about you're going to meet up and get a burger after work, that should be a message between you and your friend, not you and your friend and the folks at Fort Meade at the National Security Agency. There's a real hunger for a restoration of our basic freedoms. The First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and the threats to the Second Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the right to privacy in the Fourth Amendment, person, paper, and property. This is all being washed away by those on the liberal side of the political spectrum who seem to have never read the U.S. Constitution, but there's an increasing number of people under 30 who are reawakening to what life in a country governed by Big Brother can mean to them. And I see a lot of hope there.
Well, I, you know, hope is great, but as they would say in the military, hope is not a plan of action. We've got to come up with a way to communicate to the young people. And I know that you have one of the most skilled internet and computer kind of geeks, as they would say, in the person of somebody named Elena Zerfus, who works for your company, that is going to be helping our campaign. Did I get that right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather not, you know, name an individual who's helping on the campaign, but she is a person of incredible capability, and she's also a legal immigrant to this country, who has who arrived here a little more than a dozen years ago with two suitcases and hope, and has made a life for herself that you and I and everyone in this country can be proud can be made, even in the cynical and the sometimes difficult times we now live. And she is as much a testimony to, you know, the promise of America as anyone who's ever come before in the past 230 years. So the dream is still here. We have to keep it alive. We have to push back the overreaching hands of big government, you know, the as evidenced by the IRS scandal, as evidenced by the deception associated with Benghazi on September 11, 2012, broken borders and the media not being allowed to go down there and to report, you know, according to the within the context of the First Amendment guaranteeing freedom of the press, we're being shut out from the facts that those in power would prefer us not to know by those in power. And this is completely antithetical to everything that a land of liberty and a free people must have in order to survive and to prosper. So this campaign is about individual Americans and their relation to one another and their relation to their government. And we need to rebalance the equation. There is far too much money, too much power, too much authority, too much oversight that has been gathering and growing in Washington. And I think it threatens to change the fundamental character of the nation. And getting back to the younger Americans, they're getting a sense of where this leads, and many of them are getting involved. And I think we might see something of a fundamental change in how people under 30 vote in 2014 and the years going out. Because I'd rather be standing in poor clothes with poor ways but still have my freedom than be a well-fed steer in a feedlot waiting for the next government delivery of beans to arrive. And I think most of us want to be a free people, living our own lives by our own wits and by our own decisions. And that is a fundamental difference that contrasts, you know, Kevin Wade for U.S. Senate campaign from the incumbent, who describes himself, and I don't want to spend too much time talking about him, but he self-describes himself as the most progressive center in the U.S. Senate. And people in Delaware and across the country need to understand what that means, most progressive senator in the U.S. Senate. What does it mean to personal liberty? What does it mean to a person who works 40 hours a week and would like to bring home most of their paycheck, not what's left after Washington reaches in first? What does it mean to opportunity? What does it mean to the broad culture that has evolved and developed over 200 plus years in this country. I believe that America wins because we allow people to live their own life. I think my opponent believes that government knows best, and that's the difference.
That's a pretty big and a pretty profound difference. And, you know, as I mentioned when the show began, the idea that a guy like Coons would be representing the state of Caesar Rodney, I think it is just absolutely, it's unbelievable. It's horrible. We have to enable him to find a new job, because I think he deserves one, and I know that the citizens of Delaware and the entire country deserve a new senator in there, and my friend, that is you. Can I ask you to hang on for a moment or two? We've got to do a little tiny bit of business here, and then I want to come back to you. Is that all right?
I'll be glad to, Duke.
Thanks very much, Kevin. All righty. Now then. It's about 28 and a half minutes before the hour. Just when you think you have heard everything, those crazies in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail. But what about the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as American when the left wing tries to redistribute food and money and who knows what else, all in the name of social justice, whatever the heck that is. Look, don't sit around waiting for the professional left to turn our world upside down. Get ready right now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You will find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. More with Kevin Wade, the next U.S. Senator from Delaware, after these words. Don't go away.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony Farag, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue sky.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAB.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Yes, indeed. And you are listening to me, Duke Brooks, on Radio Free America, and my good friend Kevin Wade, the next United States Senator from Delaware. Kevin, welcome back. And
good to be with you again, Duke. It's good to be with you.
Okay, thank you. That drop from Greg Duran that we just heard. Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own country for a change? You know, you can always tell when some action, event, an alliance, a vote, anything is really in America's best interests because the left will be against it. If the left is against something, it must be the right thing for our country. If they are in favor of something, it is absolutely the wrong thing for our country. And as you have said, there are two things about liberals. One, liberals lie, and two, they lie all the time. How about it, huh?
I think the number of people who identify themselves as liberals would drop if more people took time looking at the facts, the actions, and the consequences. I think that our listeners tonight who are listening to this interview will agree that you were not able to keep your health insurance if you liked your health insurance. I think they'll agree that you were not able to keep your doctor if you liked your doctor. And I'll just throw one more simple thing out there. I don't think that your listeners agree that they're saving $2,500 on average per year in their health insurance costs. So I think people willfully close their eyes to actions, statements, and consequences. There's a promise, and among honorable people, these promises are kept. And among some, there are cotton candy promises. They look good today, but tomorrow morning there's nothing there. And I believe that the future of this country is going to be based on restoring trust between the people and their government. And that means establishing a new relationship, a relationship a whole lot closer to what our founding fathers saw, a new relationship between Washington and the people. We are citizens. We're not subjects. And unfortunately today, too many people in Washington consider us to be suspects, but I guarantee you that we are U.S. citizens, and we're going to stand up to be counted as U.S. citizens, and we're going to put this country back on the right track. The consequences of not doing that are too tragic to consider. So our backs are to the wall. We have to stand up, stand united. We have to have a clear vision of what is good for this country, what is good for the future, and work toward that vision. We cannot accept cotton candy promises from those on the left who are so very willing to deceive and mislead.
They're very, very good at it. The only thing that liberals really excel at, well, there are two things. Number one, being wrong. And number two, convincing people that they're actually right. And they have been doing this for a long, long time. And, you know, one of the problems is that most people in media today, and as you know, I have worked in broadcast for 40 years now, over 40 years, most people in media today are agenda-driven political operatives working as journalists. That is different from actually being a journalist. But we're going to have to overcome that during our campaign for the next just under 4 months. But we sure had a wonderful time the last time, and I think it's going to be a lot better this time because I think that the American people, and as you and I have discussed, even though Delaware is a very small state, we're going to have to make this a national campaign. Everybody in the country is going to know within the next few weeks that Kevin Wade is running for the U.S. Senate from Delaware. He is out to defeat a guy that describes himself as a bearded Marxist and the most progressive senator in Washington. And those are values that the American people, if they give it just a minute or two of thought, are going to realize that they have to reject. And as you yourself have said, you cannot in Washington until you change the people in Washington. And that's what we're up to, pal, you know?
And on Election Day, 1,000%. On Election Day in November of 2014, everyone in Washington comes before the American people and asks, how are we doing? And that's that one moment when Americans all across this country can stand up and tell them what needs to be done by sending the ones that have failed back home and giving new voices and new solutions a chance to serve the needs of we, the people, and defend this Constitution and protect everything that we hold dear so that we can pass it on to the next generation. And I like this expression, pass it on, shiny penny new Duke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That is, remember 2 years ago when I came up with the suggestion that we give people a penny at campaign rallies, a brand new shiny penny. And I remember we talked about it, and I think one of us or the other, or somebody, spoke to an attorney in Wilmington who goes by the name of The Shark. And he is our Republican State Committee's lawyer up there. And I think that The Shark said, you know what, it's even though it's just a penny, you're not supposed to do that kind of thing. If you're so we eventually rejected that idea. But it is, you know, there's got to be some way that the American people can be made to realize, despite what their unionized teachers are telling them, despite what professional leftists sitting at TV anchor desks and writing in newsrooms and in the faculty lounges all over the country have told them, this country can be what it was intended to be. The Constitution is the solution. I know you agree with me on that. And the guy in the White House, you know, Sarah Palin is now openly calling for him to be impeached. And there are a couple of other congressmen and one or two senators I know for a fact are looking at it. But speaking of congressmen, do you know Jim Bridenstine from Oklahoma?
No, I
congressman.
Do not.
Right.
No, I do not.
He represents Oklahoma. I think he represents the district that comprises Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Last week, or I think the week before, a sitting United States congressman from Oklahoma goes to Fort Sill, where the government has set up one of these immigrant holding places where these kids that are being bused into our country are kind of living. And he wants to get in and see a U.S. government facility, and he's told no. He's a U.S. congressman. He's told no. He then called the DHS or HHS or whichever one of those alphabet soup agencies is controlling the facility, and the person said to him on the phone, yes, congressman, I know who you are, but we really can't talk to you, and my boss says if you want to ask any questions to send him an email. And now he has finally gotten an answer from them that they will give him a tour, but he or his and his staff that comes with him are not allowed to take pictures. They're not allowed to talk to the children. They're not allowed to talk to the staff. And if they want any photographs, the department will provide them for. What is going on here? A U.S. congressman? National security installation.
A U.S. congressman, more than any other elected federal official, is the watchdog for the people. They have to stand before the people for election and re-election every 24 months. The founders had this right. They control the power of the purse. They control the budget and the money that fuels every federal agency's activities. U.S. congressmen, as the agent for the will of the people, have to be permitted to go anywhere they need to go to understand how federal policy, federal spending, federal actions are affecting the community and the nation at large. And the fact that a U.S. congressman is denied access is that's incomprehensible to me. There could be a few circumstances of extreme national security or safety where you would say, Congressman, not now, Congressman, not at this moment. But I can't see how any of those apply to his attempt to visit to see what's happening in these internment camps. This is an outrage.
It is an absolute outrage. Kevin, I want to thank you for being with me tonight, and you're going to be joining me tomorrow night on my broadcast program at WRBG in Millsboro, Delaware, from 7 to 9, and I'll certainly be speaking with you again, if not later on tonight, certainly during the day tomorrow, and I look forward to it, my friend.
Thank you very much, Duke, and let me sign off to your audience now by saying God bless each and every one of you, and may God save the United States of America. Thank you very much, Duke.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you real soon. All righty. There is Kevin Wade, the next United States Senator from Delaware. I really, you know, a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, Kevin was up against a guy that has been in the employ of either the United States or the state of Delaware his entire life, has never had any employer other than a job when he was a lifeguard at a swimming pool in West Virginia when he was 16 or something. He's never had any employer in his life except the taxpayers. And this time, it's going to be different. Now then, speaking of things that are different, and now for something completely different, it's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. We have been telling you here at conservativenationmedia.com that we are making changes. We are. They have already started. To begin with, Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance has moved to Tuesdays. Now, I'm in Delaware. Kevin and I are in Delaware. Cher Valenzuela will be joining us soon. She's in Delaware. I'm strictly an East Coast guy. But I can tell you this. The issues that are now rearing their ugly heads in Tennessee are spreading out all over America, and my buddy David Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Tuesday. So make sure to check it out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, now on Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. You know, I'm presuming that you are listening to me now as podcast because I'm being told by folks in the chat room that they cannot hear me. I'm hearing it, unlike last week, which, as you may recall, there was no audio. It was going out, but it wasn't coming back. I couldn't hear anything. What is the point of doing a radio talk show if you can't hear the people that call in? Anyway, I digress. We are going to take a quick break. Your calls are coming up, and we're going to be talking about a couple of the issues of the day, the IRS, the borders, if Christian is able to get hooked up again, some World Cup soccer. All that's coming up, so stay right where you are.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wives Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
This is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Conservative Nation Radio.
Well, welcome back. You know, I've been told by Christian in the chat room, Christian is right outside Copenhagen in Denmark, and he was telling me in the chat room earlier that he cannot hear me. I do have Kathy Tyson, who is one of the support specialists at Blog Talk that I am stream chatting with here. And Kathy says that she can hear me fine. So, Kathy, thank you so much. I am presuming that as no less an authority than William Shakespeare bought himself one head, there must be something wrong in Denmark. And I'm presuming that that's the problem. So, all right, thanks very much. Thanks. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyway, we have been talking a little bit, quite a bit, thank you, Kathy, quite a bit with Kevin Wade. Kevin will be the next United States Senator from Delaware. I was determined 2 years ago when I worked for Kevin, and Kevin and I have been good friends now for a little over 2 years, and I was honored to be working with him 2 years ago in his campaign. But you know, I think probably everybody 2 years ago probably realized, look, you know, Tom Carper is just an undefeatable, permanently entrenched career politician. There is no one in Delaware really under the age of 50 that can remember the time when Tom Carper's name was not associated with politics in Delaware. This time, it's different. This time, it is definitely different. And I think that most of the American people certainly understand by now that if you don't get rid of somebody after one or maybe two terms in the House or one term in the Senate, they are going to be there permanently. You will not be able to get rid of them except with dynamite, as they say. And there is just no way that this is what Madison and Jefferson and Washington and Adams and Ben Franklin had in mind when they set our country up. It can't be. It just can't be. The system has become so corrupted by not only voter complacency, but by special interest, influence, and big money in some of these campaigns, and that get behind some of these permanently entrenched career politicians, that now we are kind of reaping what we have sown. And at end of the day, people get the government they deserve. I mean, that's literally, these are just the facts. You know, if you don't pay attention to what is going on, if you don't really think things through for yourself, you are going to wind up with a president like the one we've got now, a vice president like, he's from Delaware. Kevin knows it. Look, in Delaware, almost everybody has either known Joe Biden personally, has met Joe Biden more than a couple of times, or knows someone who knows him personally. It's a small state. One of the issues I got, a good one. Joe Biden in 2010 ran for, well, let's see. No, in 2008, Joe Biden ran for two federal positions simultaneously. He ran for U.S. Senator from Delaware, which is a seat he had held, I think, since 1984 or 82 or something. And he also ran for Vice President of the United States. Why on earth is someone allowed to run for two offices at the same time? That, it to me, is one of the most horrible, and it's just symptomatic of the people who are in Washington and who view themselves as being a privileged ruling class, that they are just entitled to tell everybody else what to do. 718-305-7176. Is that my old buddy Mike Sponseller from Maryland? He is saying the audio is in and out, working sometimes and sometimes not. Thank you, Michael. Michael is a particularly good guy. But, you know, when I worked in real estate and the money was coming in like it was no tomorrow, it all of a sudden it stopped one day. Unbelievable. An individual named Charlie Oscar Golf, COG, says, hey, well, hey, back to you, pal. You're all welcome to call in at 718-305-7176. Got about a minute and a half until the top of the hour. We will have Talk Radio News Service news from Keeley Sullivan in Washington. You're aware Jeff Holtzman left Talk Radio News Service, and he went to do something in public relations for some organization in D.C. I have no idea. D.C. is a revolving door. It's almost like a carousel. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. But when Kevin becomes the next U.S. Senator from Delaware, the junior senator from Delaware, Tom Carper will be the senior senator from Delaware. And I have no doubt that in 2018, Tom Carper will run for re-election, and I have almost no doubt that Tom Carper will be re-elected. He has never lost an election. As I said before, he's a nice enough guy. He's not like a jerk or anything. He's, you know, he's friendly to people. But his ideas are just inappropriate. They're just wrongful. Anyway, we will be picking up this discussion in about 4 minutes. As I mentioned, we're going to be taking news from Talk Radio News Service in Washington with Keeley Sullivan. Your calls, Cher Valenzuela, Israel, the border, it's all coming up. So stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the Talk Radio News Service, I'm Keeley Sullivan.
House Speaker John Boehner says he supports House Ways and Means Chairman Dave Camp's new bill to refinance the Highway Trust Fund. The bill, announced Tuesday, is expected to give the fund $10 billion through changing federal pension rules to create more taxable income. However, Congress is still hashing out a bipartisan agreement to offset costs with an August 1st deadline. San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro was confirmed by the Senate Wednesday as the new Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. The final vote came in with a 71-26 margin. A report from the National Association of Realtors revealed that international home buyers are spending more money on their homes. Foreigners paid approximately $92 billion from April 2013 to March 2014, 35% more than the $68 billion paid the previous year. Keely Sullivan, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hey parents, it's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Mom, not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is hour number two of the Wednesday, July 9th edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Duke Brooks here. The number is 718-305-7176. I am being told that the kind of microphone-related issues, it must be a microphone-related issue. Not really sure exactly what it is. Some of the folks in the chat room are saying it sounds all right. Others are saying that it is, not. I don't know. I can give it a tiny bit more boost, but I don't want to distort it. Anyway, that piece of music that we heard a moment ago is what I think is one of the greatest pieces of modern classical. Now the gentleman in Alaska is saying that I sound like I'm in a can. I am in the can. No, I'm only kidding. However, that is the Warsaw Concerto by Richard Adensel. And I really think it is one of the greatest pieces of music ever. I first found out about it in 1975. I had certainly heard it when I was a very young child, but It was written by Adam Sell, who was a British film score writer for a movie, and not much is remembered about the movie now. Some people have said that the movie was called Suicide Squadron. Others have said it is called Dangerous Moonlight. I have never seen the movie, but the Warsaw Concerto has survived for 75 years. I think it's a movie from 1940 or something. And it is just a wonderful, I absolutely adore that thing. Somebody on Facebook a short while ago had put up a question, you know, on their page that said, if you could have a piece of music play any time you entered the room, what would it be? Well, not surprisingly, some people were saying things like Free Bird, Stairway to Heaven, man, you know, Bon Jovi, and all that kind of stuff. And I wrote the Warsaw Concerto. I did get a couple of likes as a result of that. You know, on Facebook, you never know who you're going to run into. 718-305-7176 is the number. The gentleman in Alaska, sir, you are at Free and Complete Liberty. Mr. Sponseller, you are as well. You can, you know, you can go ahead and call in. In about 11 or 12 minutes, I expect to be joined by Cher Valenzuela. Now, let me tell you about my good friend Cher. 2 years ago, Cher, who together with her husband Eli, who is this Tejano dude from Corpus Christi, they own a company in Milford, which is a great company. It's called First State Manufacturing, and they do commercial, industrial, upholstery, and soft goods. Right now, they're in the process of replacing all of the upholstery in all of the cars on the Washington, D.C. metro. So this is a big deal. They have a lot of contracts with the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Army. I mean, they, you know, they are a serious player in this field. There's absolutely no question about it. Now then, Cher ran for Lieutenant Governor. The incumbent Lieutenant Governor, Matt Den, who is a lawyer, Cher is not, neither is Kevin, thank goodness for that. He used all the power of incumbency, and, you know, Delaware is kind of a one-party state. Right now, the Republicans only have, we only have one statewide office holder, and that's Tom Wagner, although I call him Tom Wagner. He's the state auditor. There are just a handful of statewide offices. Obviously, the governor, the lieutenant governor, they do not run on the same ticket in Delaware. There have been four or five times, I think, since our current state constitution of 1897 was ratified and put into effect, where the governor and the lieutenant governor were from different parties. I don't have any problem with that. You know, the states can do things the way they want to. I have no problem with that. Most of the time they're from the same party, but occasionally they have been from different parties. There are other states in the union where this happens from time to time as well. Anyway, sadly, Cher was not successful against Matt Den. I've never met Lieutenant Governor Den. I knew Lieutenant Governor John Carney. I saw him several times 2 years ago on the campaign trail. He is now a U.S. congressman. And so anyway, flash forward to yesterday, Tuesday, July 8th, and the situation yesterday at about 11 o'clock in the morning is I get a phone call from Cher's husband, Eli, saying, hey, Duke, Cher has just filed with the state election board in Dover. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, great, Cher will run for the U.S. Congress. And then Eli said, for state treasurer. All right, now, a guy named Ken Simpler filed and had a kickoff rally in May in Rehoboth Beach. His family is from Rehoboth. Ken is a nice guy. He is apparently a very accomplished funds manager. I like Ken a great deal. I love Cher a great deal. I think she would be a very, very good state treasurer. I think Ken might be a good one as well. So now we have a primary. If it had been up to me, if somebody had called me and said, what do you think about this? But apparently, almost no one was called and asked, what do you think about this? Anyway, it's going to be very, very interesting. I am expecting to hear from Cher in 8 minutes. And, of course, we are getting a massive thunderstorm right at this moment. I played Summer and Lightning by the Electric Light Orchestra earlier, one of my favorite ELO cuts of all time. And, you know, in the summertime, you're going to get those thunderstorms. I just looked at the weather radar, and there are a couple of embedded cells in what are known as squall lines that are just kind of marching generally east across the Chesapeake Bay, and they are coming right at us. And, you know, that's basically what we got right now. So anyway, let's see. Well, something has just, good grief. I think we've got some kind of issue going on here right now, and I hope that it is not affected the program, and that actually is a mouse problem that I'm having, so I'm going to go ahead and leave the studio. All right, it looks like we're all still here. And that is a good thing. In any event, I do expect Cher to be with us very, very shortly. Let me try to get back to the right place and the right time and all that kind of stuff here. We are about 12 minutes or so after the hour, about 47 and a half minutes left in this edition of Radio Freedom. I mentioned... Incidentally, I would have mentioned last week, but obviously there were some pretty serious problems last week, so I really didn't get to do much of a broadcast at all. I hope Christian is able to rejoin us, but let me mention now that on Thursday nights, I am on the air on a local radio station in a small town called Millsboro, Delaware, which is west of here by about 12 or 14 miles. Small station, non-commercial station. And you know, sometimes at the small stations, you can sort of do what you want to do. But I went on the air last Thursday night for an hour, and I was shocked that I got two phone calls from people, both of whom had been listeners when I was working at that other radio station. And I was just so delighted to hear from those gents. So Thursday night from 7 to 9, I'm on the air on WRBG-FM 106.5. And if you do a search, you can pick that up on the Internet. Depending upon whether or not your firewall blocks the player, because it blocks mine here on my home computer. I'm not really sure why that is. I'm not exactly a computer geek. Maybe I can get Andy Patriot Jackson to figure that out also. Now then, I mean conservativenationmedia.com, we are now fully optimized for smartphones like the Android and the iPhone, and there are other ones out there. But I'm not really that much of like a smartphone geek or anything, so, you know, I'm just trying to go with the flow. I have a smartphone, thanks to my cousin Franklin. What a great guy. Anyway, you can now download our podcasts or listen to us live wherever you are and whenever you want to. The same great shows, the same great people. We are now fully optimized for your smartphone, conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Now then, we are going to take a brief break. It looks to me like Sheriff Valenzuela is on hold. So bear with me. We're going to talk a little bit about the Civil War when I come back, and you just stay right where you are.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Wednesday, July 9th, 2014 edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Duke Brooks here. And by now you know that that music means it's time to take a look at, on this day in our country's history, 150 years ago, July 9th, 1864, this is from the Civil War Day by Day by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. And on this day, which was a Saturday in 1864, the Battle of the Monocacy took place in Maryland. That is the Monocacy River. Some 6,000 men of the Army, gathered from various sources, stood directly in the way of Jubal Early's Confederate advance upon Washington from Frederick, Maryland. Early's 10,000 infantry moved forward to the Monocacy River, southeast of Frederick. Many of the Federals were inexperienced, untrained, short-term men. After a stubborn fight, Lew Wallace's pickup force was routed, and the march onward was clear for General Jubal Early. The Confederates suffered around 700 casualties, and the Federals nearly 2,000, over 1,200 of whom were missing. While not a major battle, it did delay the progress toward Washington at least a day and provided a little more time for defensive measures in northern cities. At Frederick, the Confederates imposed a levy of $200,000 on city officials. Early moved on with his total force, which probably did not exceed about 18,000. The dry heat of the past few weeks was telling upon the armies throughout Virginia and Maryland and upon civilians, too. Near panic held sway in Baltimore as home defenders of various kinds hurried to the fortifications. In Washington City, there was apprehension as well, and preparations were being rushed. Two divisions of the Federal 6th Army Corps left City Point, Virginia, bound for the national capital. In Washington, President Lincoln told Horace Greeley that if anyone had a peace proposition in writing that included the restoration of the Union and the ending of slavery, he should come to Abraham Lincoln. It was an amazing time. You know, when I read some of these things, especially the action that took place here in the Mid-Atlantic, in Virginia, the East Coast, in Maryland, you know, I've lived in this region most of my adult life. I've been to most of these places. It is just amazing. Now then, with me on the line is a particular and very dear friend of mine, Cher Valenzuela, who you probably saw giving a rousing speech at the Republican National Convention in Tampa 2 years ago on national television. Cher, welcome to Conservative Nation Media. How you doing tonight, hon?
I'm doing good, Duke. I loved listening to what you were sharing regarding your history segment. I love that. I would have been happy just to join in and listen right now. It's great. Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, we listen, anytime you want to be bored out of your mind, and I mean just absolutely put into catatonic, God, just let me know and I'll tell you all about the Civil War.
No, Duke, here's what I'm thinking when you're saying that. You're talking to a history of addicts, and as I'm listening to what you're sharing, I'm thinking about the ways that, you know, the oddities of Providence intercepted what would have been considered a triumph of the enemy in ways that we still are seeking to explain. You know, the ways in which we exploited the advantages and the disadvantages, whether it was Washington's crossing, you know, at the height of a nor'easter over there near the, you know, upstate Delaware, we're all like within breathing distance of the history here. That changed the nation, you know, because of the weather patterns. I just look at all of it and say, you know, we continue to move forward in spite of the finite amount that we know and create what history is being made today.
Oh, it is. And obviously you and my friend Kevin Wade, who I had on in the last hour, you both made history yesterday when you went to Dover and you filed to run for Delaware State Treasurer. So now we Republicans have a primary. The Democrats have a primary as well. But I suspect Chip Flowers is going to defeat his primary challenger. And
oh,
right now...
So? You think so,
yeah,
Dave? Is that what your thought is?
So because... Yeah, you know, the power of it, he will probably almost certainly defeat his Democrat primary challenger, but I don't think he can beat you. But you're going to have to get past Ken Simpler. He's going to have to get past you. And I've been on the phone with everybody today. I spoke with Jeff Craig for an hour. You remember him, right?
Oh, I sure do.
Sure. What a great guy. Everybody, Grossman, Kevin, I mean, everybody is saying the same thing. This is going to be really interesting. Now, why are you challenging the already filed and declared Ken Simpler for the position of Delaware State Treasurer, and why do you want to be the treasurer of the state of Delaware?
So you have two questions there. They're both good, Duke, and I always enjoy my conversations with you, as you know, over the years. You're good at that. I appreciate the art of the question. Two things, then. The first thing is, you know, why am I running? And I look at this and say that I've been thinking about this even in terms of my recent experience this week. The fact that somebody is on the campaign trail for 18 months is unusual. You know, most of the folks in the audience or anybody in within earshot of any conversation would agree. It gives you a chance to embed yourself with an image that is what it is. And I appreciated that. I met Ken right after the 2012 race, and in his effort to gain information, sat with him and talked with him about my own experience. I put that away. He went on his way, and for the next 18 months, he continued. I met Charlie Copeland, the party chair, in October of 2013, and told him that I was thinking about running for the treasurer's race. I told him that I wanted to take what we had gained in the terms of inroads in all categories, Democrat inroads, independent inroads, Republican inroads, conservative, you know, bottom line of all of those parties, that we could parlay that into what we could do in the treasurer's race in 2014. And to Charlie's credit, and I've been saying this over and over this week, Charlie taught me at that moment about the beauty of the primary. He said, you know, at this point, Ken Simpler, this was last October, had not declared, but, you know, if there were more than one person interested in any race, he would allow the Democrat process to continue unimpeded because it was a beautiful thing. And so at that point, you know, I learned that this is not about what might make sense in terms of, you know, momentum that we could take on from 2012. It was about the Democratic process. So I put that on the shelf as in something to ponder. And then at the almost the same time, I began to get involved in supporting other races that were going on across the state in terms of new candidates, especially for the Senate, where we only needed three seats, as you know, Duke, to flip the Senate. Now that's within our reach.
Yes.
And
yeah,
so I began to
look so.
At, well, it is. You know, three, we can do three. And if we can find three good candidates, we knew we could pitch that to people that might be able to support, you know, a package, if you will, in terms of investment, so that these candidates wouldn't have to work so hard for fundraising and that sort of thing, and we can usher that in. I began to focus on that, and until some key leaders in our state brought to my attention the fact that Ken Simpler had some history that might prove problematic in a general election. And the first, you know, state office that we had a chance to win in 20 years might be seated as a result, said, would you consider running so that we could at least give the voters a choice of understanding what we're dealing with here before the Democrats take blame at it? I really looked at that because, you know, all of this is the things that we're talking about are things that I had to research. Are they documented? Is it? I was looking at credible resources to begin with in terms of delivering this information. At that point in time, and this was a couple of months ago, I said, you know something, if somebody doesn't step up that's a true conservative, then I will begin to prepare behind the scenes to do so come the filing deadline. And if that is not going to happen, we will flip the switch and allow the voters, once they understand the full package of what is in front of them, to be chosen. Now, I'm not doing this, as you know, Duke, we have a business in Milford. And, you know, thankfully, even in the down
Which
economy,
takes up all your time.
It takes up my time, but I've got a great team, and we're,
sure.
we're growing that business
yes.
at a rate, you know, that it exceeds the average manufacturer in the nation, but basically definitely in Delaware. And, you know, so we've got a great team there and opportunity to step away from that if I need to focus on something. This is not something that is politically motivated because, you know, I'm not the kind of person, whatever that is, that says I must be this, whatever, state office, Senate, you know, whatever. In fact, over the last year, I've had some folks come to me and say, would you consider running for the U.S. Senate or the U.S. House? And I knew that that wasn't my calling. I mean, it was more my calling to help candidates in Delaware succeed. I'm kind of within the framework. My focus is my lane is right inside of the boundaries of Delaware. I'm not national. I'm focused on Delaware. I'm focused on the economy. And focused when this became evident to me that voters could have an option to see, simply see, what's in front of them as a choice based on what the Democrats might soon have a field day with. I said, how can I live with myself if I don't offer that choice? If I go down, I go down. I go back to my business. But the voters will be informed, and that matters to me. I went on for a while, Duke, with my answer. I hope that didn't, you know, run your ear out of alignment.
Okay.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
It appears that we're back on the air. Let me ask the folks in the chat room, All Things Me and Spawn Seller, if you can hear me, put something up in the chat room and let me know. I have not even heard from Kathy Tyson in the support screen yet, letting me know, okay, one person says that they hear me. All righty. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to try to call Cher back because I absolutely do want to hear what she has to say. And let me go ahead and put her number in here. And let's see what happens here. Very strange black screen. Very strange, not easy to determine. Let's see. Cher, is that you, and can you hear me?
Please record your message. When you have finished recording,
okay,
you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Okay. All right, well, you see what happened there. There are terrible thunderstorms moving through our area right now. I don't even know if Kathy can hear me. If Kathy would give me something in the chat screen at the client support help desk. It says that she is typing. And, okay, well, I'm presuming that she can. Sadly, we're going to go ahead and take it out at the normally scheduled time at 10 o'clock. Because I have to be up at 0:30 tomorrow morning. All right, well, people are saying that they're hearing me, which is a good thing. I tried to get Cher back on here, but obviously she, must have, she has a family. Cher is a wonderful person. If you go on YouTube, incidentally, and you look for Cher, S-H-E-R, Valenzuela, V-A-L-E-N-Z-U-E-L-A, Republican National Convention, Tampa. If you just search in YouTube, you will see videos of Cher's speech at the RNC in Tampa. In 2012, and it was quite a speech, Cher, I don't mind saying, listen, I know for a fact that there were women in the state of Delaware who simply refute, Cher got hate mail from women, because Cher was she's in her late 50s. I think Cher is about a year older than I am. I don't mind telling you, Cher looks good, okay? She is tall and she is thin. She's not skinny, but she is trim and she is just a very attractive female. And look, let's be honest. in this world and in this life, attractive females have an advantage. That's just all there is to it. You know, there is nothing that can be done to change that, so don't worry about it. They have an advantage. And there are many people that resent that. And there were women who sent her hate mail. They hated her head, they hated her face, they hated her voice, which is obviously a very good one. And they hated her, you know, because she is a very, very attractive, very, very smart lady. No question about that. And, you know, I suppose that is, in politics, you notice the women that seem to get places in politics.